double again. I want to see a triple doink.
It might happen.
Doink.
Double doink.
Double doink.
Double doink.
Triple doink. Quadruple doink.
Doink.
A double doink right there.
Doink. Doink. A double doink.
Double doinker.
Dicker the kicker. Triple doink sit in. Doink, 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 doink.
Double doinks and sackles.
Teaching you how to football.
Can you teach me how to football?
Chris, listen, you're in the co-host chair today, so I hope I don't have to.
You're going to have to.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm definitely going to have to.
My name is Travis Heath.
I'm Jimmy G, the Dobby boy.
And filling in for Fernando Jackson, I am Chris Walters.
Look at you jumping up to the co-host seat.
I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here.
I mean, you
missed, company,
you missed the first week.
I missed the first couple weeks.
Then you sat on the bench for the third week, and here you are now in starting position, just like Dobby Dimes.
Dobby Dimes.
Can we just jump right into it right now with Dobby Dimes on this fact?
Dobby Dimes.
How about them boys? Let's dob right into this
one.
Just
dob right into Dobby Dimes.
We're gonna dob right into this one.
I am Dobby Dimes, the stat boy.
Someone gave Dobby the free elf a sock last week, because this man has been playing on fire. He has no hair, but he's got game. Dobby Dimes out here coming in with the vaulted Dallas defense. Chris, what is there to say about what happened in Arizona?
I think I said it last week. I'm going to say it this week. Has yet to throw an interception in a game so far. His yardage didn't look great, but, you know, with Connor backing him up there, the defense just kind of shat the bed for Dallas. I don't know what was going on there.
Well, I mean, one, they lost Diggs in the offseason. We're talking about practice. Practice?
Practice.
Practice?
We're talking about practice?
Yeah. Offseason, off week, yeah.
Trayvon Diggs blew out his ACL in practice, unfortunately, which is going to affect their defense a little bit. But that pass rush should still be something there. I mean, Micah Parsons was on his own podcast saying that Josh Dobbs' bulletin board material before the game happened, and turns out couldn't stop him by that point. MJD came out this week, said the running back that everyone sleeps on, they should stop sleeping on, is James Conner. And I believe him. I absolutely believe him. Listen, we all thought the Arizona Cardinals were going to have the worst record this year, and they still might. But right now, man, how about them boys?
I just love the way they showed up. I was tired of hearing from Dallas fans about their defense, about their offense showing up. I just love how Cardinals came in. I mean, arguably, like, one of the worst teams in the league showed up and showed out against Dallas.
I'm speechless. This game was ridiculous. You would think Dallas would wake up after a while, but they really had nothing to do with this game.
I just feel like Connor was like, come with me if you want to win.
I mean, like, the biggest thing that I see with the Dallas team in general is the defense is still there. The problem is that if you put the offense on the field too many times, the offense still isn't there. Dak Prescott still isn't that guy. Tony Pollard, they're running that man to the ground right now. CeeDee Lamb still looks amazing. There's nobody outside of those three people that play for that offense as far as I'm concerned.
I think there's a shot of like the end zone where Dak was stepping back in the red zone trying to convert in the red zone. And it's just a huge sign that says red zone, just taunting Dallas of not converting the entire game.
I think I agree 100%. I think those, like, defense and offense are not quite matching up right now. If you had an offense plan as well as that defense is right now, they would probably be the number one team in the league. Next is San Francisco. But, yeah, they would be up there for sure.
Well, I was going to say, moving on to the next game would be the first game of the week by that point. Let's go on to who I consider is the best team in the NFL right now, the San Francisco 49ers. Jimmy Dobbs, the free elf stat boy. You want to take this one? Go for it.
It was so long ago, this game, but I feel like this game was never really out of hand. I don't think anyone kind of expected. It wasn't as easy as some people thought with a 10-point spread, but it was a fairly easily handled game. Purdy did all that's expected. He made those quick passes.
He did pretty good.
Yeah. I'm just noticing how fast he gets rid of the ball. He gets rid of that ball fast. He goes through his progressions, hits the guy in the flat, or there's no one out deep, and just is happy with it.
I think Purdy is your quarterback, hands down. I like the pick there. You guys got rid of Trey Lance. I think Purdy is showing up every game. And, I mean, I'm not saying you should say thank you to the Carolina Panthers for warming up McCaffrey, but that's what we did for you.
He does look really nice running out
there. It was 13 straight regular season games with a touchdown for Christian McCaffrey by this point. But Brock Purdy is still the story, in my opinion. Brock Purdy is a system quarterback, I still believe. And this is his second year as Mr. Irrelevant, coming off what he did last season. But being a system quarterback isn't a terrible thing to be, because I still believe that Tom Brady was a system quarterback until he got... until he matured into his role by that point. And that's kind of the key. Yeah. To be called a system quarterback right now, you can't tell me that Brock Purdy isn't a system quarterback. If you threw him on the Jets right now, I don't think he's going to have the same success that he's going to have in the 49ers. Yes or no?
I will agree with that 100%.
I think they would love to have someone like
Purdy. I'm sure they would love to have him.
They would love to have someone like Dobby. Dobby Dimes right
now.
He's
not going to have the same success that he's going to have in the 49ers. If you put Brock Purdy on the New York Giants right now, I don't think he's going to have the same success that he's going to have in the 49ers. Brock Purdy, in my opinion, still is a system quarterback, but there's nothing wrong with that. I feel like that name comes with like a kind of the stigma where like he can't succeed somewhere else. Give him time in this system to continue to learn how to read defenses, how to be comfortable in read defenses. This is the thing, right? You watch Aaron Rodgers come up. I mean, we're watching Jordan Love do it right now. You watch quarterbacks that sit behind other good quarterbacks and learn the system, learn what they should and shouldn't do. Brock Purdy has to do that on the fly. He's doing on-the-job training right now. He's being baptized by fire. Let that man sit in the system for as long as he wants. If the 49ers don't pay him at the end of his contract, which is like, what, another 4 years by this point?
He's one of the cheapest contracts on the team. I mean,
right now, he's going to be asking for a contract. If he would give him the Super Bowl this year, he's going to be asking for a contract next year, I guarantee you. But let that man sit right now and learn how to play football behind a good line, behind a good offense, behind a great defense. Let him continue to learn football and watch what happens in the next few years. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think he has all that going for him. I think that's a big thing for him. I mean, 49ers has it on both sides of the field. Their defense is solid. Their offense is solid. They have some serious weapons going on. And, you know, it's easy to do what he's doing with a good offensive line. And they have that as well.
Well, the offensive line's... oh, it's good, but not great.
I mean, comparably to like some of the other offensive lines, let's look at Carolina, sure, which falls apart. You know, he has that, and he's able to stay in the pocket a little bit. But I will throw it back to Andrew. He is making like good decisions. You know, he's not throwing the ball away a lot. You know, he knows when to check down. So he has that mental game, too, as a quarterback. I mean, I kind of bounce back to someone like Herbert. I think Herbert's another quarterback who knows when to get rid of the ball, when to hold the ball, when to check it down. So I think he has that mentality, and I think he's going to go far with the 49ers.
No, on the flip side, you got someone like Justin Field just stands there and doesn't know what to do, and the pocket collapses and he gets sacked.
100%.
Let's go into Justin Fields then, if we want to just briefly talk about this game that got turned off of Sunday Ticket at one point, and we had to fight it once again. It was, I think, 41-0 at one point. Yeah, 41-0 at one point. The Taylor Swift game, if you would.
I feel like there was another reason why people watched that game, right?
Yeah. It was the highest watched game this weekend. There were 23.4 million people watched this game. The highest demographic being, of course, women between 17 and 23 and 35 and 45.
That is an entrance in stat.
Which is a really interesting
that's
stat.
That's a new demographic. I don't think that's in the list.
That is. But I mean, let's face it, man. I was watching some TikTok videos this week. I was cracking myself up on this one. It was wives talking to husbands coming in. They're like, "Did you hear Taylor Swift is dating Travis Kelce?" If you guys haven't heard it, that's a thing now. Travis Swift is a real thing. But the husband like looks at the wife and says, "Well, that's interesting. Good for him." And she goes, "Yeah, she's dating him to help make him more famous." And the husband says, "What are you talking about? Travis Kelce is one of the most famous football players that exists on the planet right now. What are you talking about?" But let's face it, the Chiefs did their thing. I mean, the Chiefs are always going to run over that game. Justin Fields, though, terrible decision-making.
He's like watching Lance out there. He just kind of stands there and waits for someone to get open. And then forgets that he's been sitting in the pocket for 10 seconds, and he should probably get rid of it soon.
I think it comes down to it, whether or not the coaches are trying to make him a pocket passer, which I think for someone who tends to get outside of the pocket, tends to do the RPO and like make a run for it, that's the toughest thing in the world for some of these kids to do. Because you look at some of these quarterbacks and they're just like, you're our future, you're our franchise, we need you to stay in the pocket, we need you to stay healthy. And that is so tough for a quarterback who's grew up through high school, through college, getting outside of the pocket, making runs happen, and then like when they need to, getting rid of the ball. So if that's what they're trying to do to this guy, they're going to run into the ground. It's not going to work.
Well, we already saw it this weekend. We talked about it this weekend. We're watching football. You could watch Justin Fields drop back. He has a very hard time reading the defense by that point. He misses like the under routes. I mean, if you want to make Justin Fields a successful quarterback, you're running drag routes across the center. You're running screen passes. You're running RPOs by that point. They're just not using him in the right way. They're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. And it's just not going to work. And it's a really unfortunate circumstance. I mean, you know, watch it in a couple of years. Watch Justin Fields leave the Bears and maybe learn behind like a Lamar Jackson or even like a Patrick Mahomes by that point, where you could actually start reading defenses and get some time once again to start looking at the field. I mean, this is once the stark contrast between like a Brock Purdy and a Justin Fields. Justin Fields was highly touted coming out. He was a top 10 pick. Brock Purdy's the last pick of the draft by that point. Mm-hmm. If you put them in the right situation with the right coaching, the right players behind them, you could still develop somebody into being a better quarterback. Justin Fields is not in the right situation right now. I still think he's a very talented athlete. I honestly do hope that he finds a place where he can go or he finds coaching staff that he can go to. But right now, it's not the Bears.
I just remember seeing him at the end of last year. Just kind of let him improvise a lot of stuff. Just kind of be that mobile quarterback. Go out, run. His rushing yardage last year was insane. Last year, just let him do what he makes him comfortable.
That's the thing. Like, let him play football. If you try to put a chain on this guy, yeah, it's not going to work. Let him play football. I understand the risk about him getting hurt and him not being the guy anymore, but you can't change the way the kids play football. You can throw it back to when, like, say Cam Newton, for instance, when the Carolina was just like, I need you to be a pocket guy.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. He's not a pocket passer. Let the guy play football.
Speaking about pocket passers, let's go to the guy who kind of was sort of one this week, but wasn't. And let's go to an even bigger blowout. The Dolphins versus the Broncos.
Oh.
Not a lot to say on this one unless you're playing against Mostert or Achane or Achan, Achan now.
Achane. Devon.
No, he actually Devon, just wanted Achane. He wanted his name changed now. I just read this week. It's now Achane is what his name's going to be now pronounced as.
I think it's Achane.
You can look it up. Look it up.
I didn't remember what's saying Achane or Chan, whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a lot to say on this game. I feel like Denver got to a point where they basically gave up. You know, like Russell Wilson still had over 300 yards with the TD, but obviously it wasn't enough to even impact what the Dolphins have on offense. The Dolphins right now, offense is solid. Those guys are sick. Tua's sick. You got Mozart. Achan. You got Hill. These guys are showing up and showing out, so they're going to be tough to beat across the board. They're going to Buffalo, which we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, yeah, I think this offense is something to worry about for sure.
There were 350 yards passing and 350 yards rushing in this game for the Dolphins. Do I have that right? I feel like I have. That's about right.
Like that.
Just some stats here. Tua threw for 309 yards. Four touchdowns. Devon Achane ran for 222 yards and four TDs. Mostert, 142 yards rushing, four TDs. Tyreek had 157 yards receiving and one touchdown. And no Waddle in this game. It's insane how much offense they pulled on the Broncos this week.
Team's pretty good. Let me go down just a couple ones real fast, unless you guys want to talk about it. Browns beat the Titans. No shock by that point. But we did have a really good fumble slash throwaway by he who shall not be named. Look it up if you haven't seen it before.
Basically threw in the wrong direction to get out of a sack.
Bills Commanders. The Bills came out with an aggression against the Commies. It's not even close. The Lions beat the Falcons pretty solidly by that point as well. Texans beat the Jaguars. I don't want to say a lot about it. I think the play calling is going pretty bad on the offensive side of the Jaguars by this point. But the Texans look pretty good. C.J. Stroud, has the most passing yards, third most passing yards ever by a starting quarterback in his first three games. The Seahawks and the Panthers, Chris?
This one's tough for me because you have Andy Dalton showing up because Young was out. Andy Dalton actually had a really good game. I think it was like 300-plus yards, two TDs, something like that. Our defense is still pretty decent. The thing that's really confusing me right now is what's going on with Sanders. I don't understand what the Carolina is doing on the running game because I thought he was going to come in. It was going to be a split-back situation between him and Hubbard, but right now he just got the ball, and I don't understand why. He's not putting up the numbers. He's not getting the touchdowns. Why aren't they split back in this? That's the biggest thing for me right now.
I mean, I think we looked it up earlier. I think it's like 41. What is it, hold on? It's 41 rushes for like 139. It's like something like 3.3 yards of carry right now for Sanders.
And Shuba was not that bad. He wasn't great, but considering our offense, he was not that bad last year. I don't understand why we are not split back in this and why he's our featured back.
But, I mean, Adam Thielen calling back from the old days and DJ Shark coming out with a good game too.
Yeah, Thielen showed up. He's had a couple touchdown games right now. I think he went for over, like, I think it was close to like 150 yards this game. But, again, I think that comes down to Dalton. I think that was on Dalton. Would Bryce Young have the same numbers with Thielen? I don't know. And we're going to see this week because Bryce Young's back this week.
Patriots, Jets, if you're a Garrett Wilson owner, sorry, apologize about it. 5 receptions for 48 yards by this point. Mac Jones had his worst game of the season, but still threw 15-29, 201 yards and a touchdown. Zeke with a breakout game by this point. We all know how the Patriots usually run their running backs. If you picked up Zeke, and I know Josh did in our league by this point, if you picked up Zeke, I don't think it's a terrible pickup right now.
It's not a terrible pickup. I think Richardson was a guy to start. Stevenson was a guy to start. But you knew Zeke was going to come in there and make a play eventually. And I think this is a chance to do it. I don't think Zeke is done. I think he still has something in the tank. And if he gets going, he might be able to take over that starting position.
He might be motivated this week to play really well if he gets the opportunity, I feel. We'll talk more about that. Also, did we see what Mac Jones did to Sauce Gardner at the end of the game?
Dylan Nutcheck, did you see that?
Yeah, he is again dirty player.
Man, I'm gonna tell you right now.
Like,
I mean,
slides with his cleats out.
I'm not a huge fan of Mac Jones. I think players that play that way are one of two ways. One, you're trying to establish dominance, or two, you know you're not that good, so you have to put something on the field. I think Mac Jones falls in the second category by that point. Moving on from that one, though, let's go to a nail biter. I almost went to a tie by this point. We're going to go to the Colts and the Ravens.
Oh, that game.
Yeah, let's go for it. Gardner Minshew leading with 227 yards. Zach Moss having an amazing game. Comes out this week that Jonathan Taylor is still looking for a trade. So, like, I mean, is he going to play for the Colts for this year? Or is Zach Moss still going to be the guy?
I think
at this point, I think Taylor's out the door. I think they're probably going to give him away to someone for a couple picks and see what happens. I like Moss. He looked good this past week. And even if Taylor did come back, how many weeks is it going to take for him to start showing up? You know what I mean? It's going to be some time there. The guy hasn't done anything this year, so it's going to take a little time for him to fit back in the program. I say at this point, just dump him.
They're not going to just dump him because he's worth at least one or two first-round picks.
Dump him for picks.
Yeah.
No.
I feel like teams like the Ravens could probably use him if they really, really wanted to pay for that. Who else needs, like, who has some running back injuries out there? Maybe the Titans. The Titans have other problems. Never mind the Titans.
Titans got a lot of problems right now.
The Browns could use one, possibly, but I think Jerome Ford's doing well there, so maybe that's not even necessary. They also got Kareem Hunt. So, yeah, there's some teams that could use Jonathan Taylor if they really were desperate.
I mean, the key is going to be, are you in the race to make it worthwhile? I mean, like, the Vikings could be up there right now. They're sitting at 0-3. They could be sitting at 0-4 at the end of this week. We don't know. But, I mean, they could do it. The Cardinals don't need it by that point. I mean, Najee Harris hasn't looked great. Josh Jacobs has looked like a shell of the man he was last year. I mean, there are teams out there that could definitely use
Carolina can use them, but they gave up the farm for Bryce Young.
So yeah, I mean, there's that pick all day. What do you got on the tab for next?
Let's talk about this game between the Vikings and the Chargers last week. Because that was interesting, because our friend wasn't there with us because he was there watching the game in person. That's just crazy. I have like a dry stat actually for this. Vikings have the number one quarterback with Cousins. They have the number one wide receiver in Jefferson. Do you think they have more than the 70 points on the season that the Dolphins scored last week? Total points.
No.
They are just one shy. That's 69 points on the season. That is insane. And then there's a stat here. They have 7 lost fumbles in the 9 quarters, which is probably attributed to that.
Well, I'm pretty sure like 6 or 7 of those, maybe all 7 of them actually came to the first 2 games, I believe, between their first game and the second game. I think the Chargers... Both teams are actually pretty good, man. It was hard to watch both these teams go 0-2 and face each other to see which one would go 0-3. Justin Herbert looked incredible. I mean, he went 40 of 47 last week for 405 yards and 3 touchdowns. Their rushing game wasn't there. I think Josh Kelly, 11 carries for 12 yards last week. But Keenan Allen just went off. 215 yards receiving, 18 receptions.
The ball kept going to him. There's no one else on the team.
Just couldn't stop him. I don't know what's wrong with the Vikings right now. I think it's the defense. The running game isn't great. But Madison didn't have a terrible game. I think he had 20 rushes for like 90-plus yards. I mean, Justin Jefferson's still doing his thing. The Vikings' offense is there. They just can't stop anyone to save their lives.
I think the biggest thing for the Vikings is they're just playing everything close. I think they get to a point where it's a close game and they just don't have the drive to get the win. I think all their games so far this season have been super close and they've had the ability to win, but they just haven't pulled it out. I think the biggest thing for this week, though, there was a lot of calls going against the Chargers that I just didn't agree with. I don't know if this game should have even been that close, because I think the refs just had it out for the Chargers.
We're talking about the fumble on the goal line where they had the forward progress stop and
the fumble, and I think there was 2 or 3 like pass interference calls that just went against them. I don't know. I didn't like what the refs did to the Chargers this week. It was a close game for sure. I don't think it should have been that close, but it's interesting because again, I think Minnesota, they just lost that drive to win. They have no problem like keeping it close, but they're just not winning football games.
Moving on from that one, we get the Saints-Packers. I know you're the biggest Packers fan in the world.
It's a hot take last week.
This past week.
100% I was pulling for the Packers this past week, and I'm so glad to see it because, you know what? F them Saints. I mean, their defense looks great. You know, their offense is whatever. Everybody was all over Carr. They're getting Kamara back this week, so it's just going to help them out. They're probably going to win the division, and I'm not here for it because Panthers are starting 0-3, so I'm just a little hurt, butt hurt.
If Derek Carr stays in the game, I mean, Derek Carr obviously, like, sprained his AC joint by this point. If Derek Carr stays in the game, Do the Packers come back?
No. Yeah. Derek Carr would have ran over him. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now the Saints are going to be a totally different team with Jameis as their quarterback.
I mean, dude didn't even know where his helmet was by that point.
Did not know where his helmet was. I think in the end he just grabbed one and went on the field. Probably wasn't even mic'd up.
Steelers, Raiders. I'm going to let Jimmy Dobbs, the free elf stat boy, take this one.
The only thing about this that I think is worth noting is Josh McDaniels doesn't seem to understand. You're down by 8 points. Late in the game, you have a fourth and goal, I think, believe, to just get those points. An 8-point deficit is a one-score game. You need to make the 2-point conversion. Why did you kick a field goal? You had timeouts. Maybe you thought you'd get the ball back. Why not try to like do something? Because you might not get the ball back if you give it up and just kick a field goal.
My biggest takeaway from this one, we were watching the game on Sunday night. They had a couple plays, like a little play action passes, where like it was supposed to be designed for Jimmy Garoppolo to go deep. And he checked down real quick on both of them. Without even pressure, he checked down real quick on both of them.
Welcome to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, I agree, man. I mean, I've never been a Jimmy G fan.
I think that just comes down to he understood he made some bad plays, some bad play calls earlier in the game. I think he had like two or three interceptions in the game. So it was one of those things where I think in the moment he was a little worried about his ability to make that play happen. I think I'm still on the Jimmy G train. I still think he's a decent quarterback.
Jimmy G train?
I just feel like he... He makes some bad decisions sometimes, and it costs him. And it costs him the game most times.
I think you have a quarterback that starts second-guessing themselves that much. I think that you have a bigger issue right now with confidence and everything like that. And you can't win games without quarterbacks with confidence. We're going to move on to Monday night. There's two games on Monday night. This one, we don't really have to talk about the Eagles-Bucks, do we? Mm. Except the only thing I want to talk about with the Eagles-Bucks, in my opinion, is going to be, there was like the whole 50-50. Was it going to be a Swiftie thing or was it going to be a Gainwell thing? And it turned out it was a Swiftie thing. He made the most of his opportunities.
I was going to say, what are you talking about? It's like, I can't talk about that.
DeAndre Swift, took the lead last week. He's got the most rushing yards for his three starting games as a running back since, I think, like Deuce McAllister or something like that. It's something crazy.
I'm surprised that he's doing this well.
I mean, he's doing incredible by this point. I mean, he's one injury away from, Gainwell coming back. But, it's fantastic.
That one time he tried to hurdle somebody, he was like, what are you doing? Yeah.
So the Eagles are who we thought they were by this point. Probably the second best team in the NFL, in my opinion, behind the San Francisco 49ers. And then the Bengals pulling out a nitty gritty in the Cincinnati City. Huh?
A little stretch, but a lot. A lot.
There it is. All you people waiting for Joe Burrow to go off in fantasy football, keep waiting. Yeah. Those of you waiting on Ja'Marr Chase to go off, congratulations. You waited long enough. Here he was. 12 receptions, 141 yards. I thought it was a really good win for the Bengals. The Rams are still not a team to mess around with, though.
No, they have some fight in them. I was just very worried because, just for, like, speaking fantasy, the people that had Burrow... Do you want him to go and try? Because you know he's not healed by now for his calf. He might play a little little gimpy and stuff, and I just didn't know whether or not that was the right choice to go with Burrow back for this game.
I think my whole thing is without Burrow, no playoffs.
Yeah.
No chance. With Burrow, probably playoffs. So I think they're just trying to work him into the game to make sure that happens. So far, it hasn't been great. He's had one game where he showed up. The other two games, not so much. But I don't know. I think Stafford made a couple bad decisions. He had a couple interceptions. I think this game was close simply because Burrow is not in tip-top shape. Will he get there? Probably. Will it take probably another week? Yes, probably. But Burrow is the guy, and he needs to be in the game. That is how you're going to win games. And without him, I just don't see it happening.
I mean, this is the point where you come with fantasy aside from your team by that point. They actually interviewed Joe Burrow after it was said and done. They decided what the decision was for him to start this game. He said it was a deciding between 0-3 or 1-2. And when it comes down to it, I mean, I'm going to say right now, most of the players will say, fuck your fantasy football team. Joe Burrow went for 1-2, and he did everything he could to make that happen by that point. So
they got the dub.
I guess that's what's important for them, honestly. And with that, I think we should go to a commercial and then come back. We'll make some picks.
Yeah.
Let's alert to make some picks and some more hot takes. We'll be right back. Let's take a break and listen to some commercials.
Trav, I am looking for a great Oktoberfest in San Diego here. What would you suggest?
Well, honestly, Chris, did you know that San Diego has one of the second largest Oktoberfests, like, west of the Mississippi?
I did not know that.
It's a true story. There's a large German society here in San Diego, but there's two Oktoberfests this weekend, Chris. There's one in La Mesa. There's one in El Cajon. The El Cajon's more traditional, put on by the German Society of San Diego by that point. But this weekend is the only weekend that the La Mesa one does. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Your boy's going on Friday night. We got VIP tickets. It's $45. You get a chicken hat or an alpine hat, whatever you really want by that point. A free Stein, two beers, VIP passes to the bar, VIP passes to the restroom, front of the line tickets.
Wait, VIP restroom?
VIP passes? Restroom passes by this point. It's $45, my friends. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to come out and meet me face to face, I know who you are out there listening. I met you already at the concert last week. You want to come out and see the Trav? Come out this weekend. La Mesa Oktoberfest. Sarah Dargrove is going to be there with Rain Isbell. It should be a good time.
Sounds like I wish I could make it.
I wish you could, but we'll be there next week for the El Cajon Oktoberfest.
There you go.
But that's an ad for next week.
All right.
See you there, folks.
And we're back.
We are back. In fact, Chris, you're doing a pretty decent job.
Why, thank you. I have a big seat to fill, if you will.
I mean, not so big as it used to be.
Not so big as it
was. Yeah, I mean, it's so we're going right into the games this week. We're getting picks. We're getting our spreads. And then we're going to take our hot takes at the end of this segment. We're going to start right in on Thursday night. That is tomorrow night. The Lions going against the Green Bay Packers. Lions -1.5. What do we have on this one?
I'm going to take the Lions. The Lions beat the Chiefs. Do I need to say more?
That was week one ago, though.
They're playing Green Bay. All right, Lions 1.5, easy.
I have the Packers to win this game because there's a shot of, like, Jordan Love playing last week, and they zoomed it out, and I swear to God that was an old Aaron Rodgers footage. The way he kind of turns off out of the center, looks downfield, drops it off in the flat or something. It looked like it was Aaron Rodgers playing there. That's Jordan Love. And I believe in him. I believe in your all your Love Train, Love Boat stuff last week.
Love Train.
I think the Packers, this is a home game that gives them a slight edge. Give me the Packers to win this game.
I mean, the Lions' only loss this year is overtime at home against the Seattle Seahawks. Geno Smith has a thing over the Detroit Lions right now. They dominate the Falcons. The Falcons are who we thought they were at this point. They did beat the Chiefs. They kind of surprised them a little bit at home. There's no Travis Kelce in that game. The Packers are a good team. If this game was in Detroit, I would take Detroit, but it's in Green Bay, unfortunately, for Jared Goff and the rest of the Lions crew. So give me the Packers to win and cover.
The Lions beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, we heard that.
Moving on next, we have the 6:30 game. Who else is waking up for this one besides me? That's what I thought.
It is the Toy Story game. They're doing a Disney Plus.
They are doing a Toy Story game. I'm kind of interested in turning into Disney Plus by this one to watch it. Jacksonville by 3 points. Who you got?
Well, I got the Jaguars to win this game. I do not. I'm really afraid of how the Falcons play at home, and they're not like a pushover, but I think the Jaguars get right with this game, and they can. This is their home away from home, so. Give me the Jaguars to win this game in London on the Toy Story field.
I am still not a big fan of Atlanta. I don't like that offense, even though they put up some numbers. They're 2-1 right now. I think the Jacksonville defense last week was a fluke. It's not going to happen again this week. I got Jacksonville winning this pretty easily.
I also have Jacksonville winning this. I mean, it's a home away from home by this point. They get to spend 2 weeks in London. They get the Bills next week after this one. But give me the Jacksonville Jaguars residing in their home away from home and taking this one 3-0 with the 3-point spread. We're moving on to the next one. This one is a fun one to talk about. The Dolphins are 2.5-point underdogs against the Bills in Orchard Park.
I understand it. You know, they're playing in Buffalo. I get that. But, I mean, look at Miami last week. I don't understand how the Bills have a 2.5, like, spread on this. I got Miami winning this game by at least a touchdown. At least a touchdown.
This is the same Bills team that lost to a team on the last play to the Jets when Aaron Rodgers got out of the fourth play. The Bills have looked a little bit better last week. They beat the Commies pretty handily, but this team is going to score points, and the Bills need to keep up, and I don't see them keeping up. This is going to be a fun game to watch, and I'm hoping there's no fantasy implications this game. Don't want to kill me. But give me the Dolphins to win this game, and I can't wait to see all the points and all the scoring.
Now, granted, the Bills don't have a lot of opponents to talk about when it comes down to offense. They played the Commies, they played the Raiders, they played the Jets after Aaron Rodgers went out after like four plays. But they are only giving up 110 yards rushing right now. They're going to give 165 yards passing right now. I think the Bills' defense is going to give the Dolphins' offense much more of a fit than what we think they are. And if a team has the offensive weapons to be able to try and match up with the Dolphins right now, at this point of the season, I think it's the Bills. Give me the Bills to win this game by 2.5.
I like it. Let's see it.
Moving on, we got one of our first of the two 0-3 battles
here. Games of the week.
Games of the week. Game one of the week. The Denver Broncos travel to Soldier Field for the Chicago Bears. Who do you guys got?
I don't think home field advantage matters on this one.
This is like so even, 3.5.
I think Denver got ran over last week, but I think they're going to bounce back this week pretty easily against Chicago. I'm taking Denver 3.5 all day.
I thought I would pick the Bears to slightly cover this, but the Broncos to win. That seems foolish. I feel like the Bears are not on the same level as the Broncos.
The Broncos are not good either.
But I feel like they will take care of the Bears pretty handily. So I'm changing the cover by the Bears. Just a simple Broncos will win a cover.
Oh, I think the Bears are bad. I don't think the Broncos are as bad as the 0-3 record says. I don't think they're as bad as the 70-20 loss that they had last week. It says they are. And I think Sean Payton and Russell Wilson are pretty, pretty pissed off right now. So I see the Broncos coming out and handling this game. I don't think it's going to be close at all. Moving on, we have a game that could be close with the Ravens versus the Browns. The Browns 3-point favorites in Cleveland. Who do you guys got?
I'm going to go with Baltimore on this. I know they're pretty beat up, but I just don't like that Browns offense. I don't like how Deshaun Watson is handling the ball right now. He made some horrible decisions last week. So I'm going to say Baltimore is going to win this.
I am picking the Browns to win this and cover. I feel like the Ravens are hit by a major injury bug, and I don't know if everyone's going to be healed enough for this game. And they just lost the Colts in OT. That seems really like indicative of them really not being healthy. So yeah, give me the Browns. I feel good about the Browns like winning this game and covering.
I do not. I think the Ravens suffered a decent loss last week. Sometimes it happens. I mean, the Jaguars got blown out by the Texans. Sometimes bad teams win against good teams. I think the Ravens, Gus Edwards, is out of concussion protocol right now, so he should be running the ball. Justin Hill may or may not be there. Melvin Gordon looked pretty good last week. It's still the Lamar Jackson game. The Browns, the defense is there, but the offense is not. Give me the Ravens in a nail-biter. Moving on next, we have the Steelers traveling to the Houston Texans. The Steelers, 3-point favorites.
Yeah, I'm going with Pittsburgh all day. I just think that offense is going to match up well against that defense. I think they're going to pull it out and take this game.
I'm picking the upset. I feel like the Texans are feisty. They got, like, they got, is it Tank Dell?
Tank Dell.
Tank Dell, who's catches everything thrown his way. C.J. Stroud has been, like, really showing a good pocket presence. I think he just does enough, doesn't make the mistakes. And I think that they'll make it, this game really feisty. They'll make this game really interesting. And I don't know if the Steelers, they might be overlooking this game. I don't know. But I picked the Texans to win this game.
I don't think anyone can look over 34-17 against the Jaguars last week. So I think the Steelers actually come into Houston ready to win this game. I think they kind of started finding themselves last week, even without Deontay Johnson by this point. They got Calvin. They got George Pickens by this point. The running game is still 50-50. Najee doesn't look great, but I just don't think the Texans have it in them right now. Let C.J. Stroud and the Texans come back down to earth. Pittsburgh will win and cover this game. Moving on next, Chris, I'm going to let you take this one because you're going to be there at the game with the former co-host. The Vikings.
Former?
The Vikings and the Panthers, both 0-3. Game of the week number two coming in here from Fox Sports. Who do you got? Vikings minus four.
I guess it's going to come down to whether or not Minnesota wins if Fernando can come back, it sounds like. No, I have Minnesota winning this game. I think Bryce Young's coming back this week, and I am not a big fan of that decision. I'm not a big fan of throwing quarterbacks into the league without having a little experience behind a veteran quarterback. So I'm going to touch on that a little later, but I would say Minnesota is going to win this game by 4 points pretty easily. I think our defense is there, but the offense is not going to make up for it.
Yeah, you were mentioning this off mic earlier. I think we all feel better if Andy Dalton was quarterback for the Panthers in this game, and it might make it interesting. But you still got Bryce Young learning how to play in the NFL right now, and I don't know if this is kind of as good for a winning game. So I feel like the Vikings will win this game pretty handily, I feel. Yeah.
I think Bryce Young is going to take the old Jalen Hurts route on this one. I think he's going to struggle in his rookie season and then come out and find his way. I mean, Frank Wright is a great quarterback's coach, but this is not going to be the week that's going to happen. I do agree. If Andy Dalton was a quarterback in this one, I think that the Panthers would have a better chance. Without Andy Dalton and Bryce Young behind the center and that offensive line the way it looks right now, he can't get the ball out of the field. Give me the Vikings minus four in this game. Moving on to the next one. This one is an interesting one. It's going to be the Los Angeles Rams traveling to Indianapolis. Indy is 1-point favorites.
I just don't know about Indy. I think they showed up last week against Baltimore, but I think that was more of a Minshew thing than anything. You know, I think Richardson is back this week. I'm going to take the Rams to win this. I think they've been looking pretty decent this year. I think Stafford's had a couple bad choices he's made throughout the season, but I think he's going to show up this game and win it pretty easily.
I feel like the Colts can make this interesting. It's a home game. We'll have their crowd dressed in white and blue, looking like each other. And I feel like, the Colts could possibly do this. Anthony Richardson will be back for this game, I hear. I think there's enough that this is literally a coin toss. And I've picked the Colts based on the coin toss, honestly.
So we're going to trust the coin by this one. I'm going to go against the coin. I think the Rams actually have this one. Anthony Richardson has yet to play an entire game. Without getting injured. He just runs too hard. I don't think he's a great quarterback right now. I think he can be a great quarterback. But, we're kind of dealing with like the Justin Fields situation right now where he can run the ball really well and doesn't pass it just quite as well either. Give me the Rams in this one. Give me the coaching. Give me the team. Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams will absolutely run all over the Colts. Moving on next, we have your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Saints, 3-point favorites. How are we feeling about that one?
This one just hurts my heart to say because the Rams running away with the division, New Orleans running away with the division right now. I think their offense looks pretty good. even with Wilson, they're getting Kamara back. You know, their defense on point. Tampa Bay is still kind of up in the air about what they're doing. I think Baker Mayfield, one of those guys, he might show up. He might not show up. So I'm going to take New Orleans to win this game. I think they're going to take it and run away with it pretty easily.
I don't feel great about Jameis being the Saints quarterback in this game, but they are getting Alvin Kamara, and that is going to help them open up the passing game with Kamara, just feeding Kamara and then finding a way. I guess Jameis could eventually hit some of the receivers well after just establishing that run game. But there's a lot of leaning on Kamara, and I feel like that will be enough for the Saints to win this game and cover.
Mm. It's hard at home against the Saints. I always have a hard time choosing against the Saints at home. But Baker Mayfield has not looked terrible, and is not the time of the year for him to turn into a pumpkin yet. That'll happen in like a couple weeks. I'm pretty sure he's going to turn into a pumpkin again. But right now, I mean, Mike Evans looks like a world beater. Chris Godwin's starting to show back up. Rashad White's had kind of an okay season so far, but the defense has not let up outside of last week more than 35 yards rushing for a running back so far. I'm going to take the Bucks as the upset in this game against the New Orleans Saints.
Love to see it.
Moving on next, shouldn't be a whole lot to talk about this one. Should be able to breeze through it. The Washington Football Commies traveling to Philadelphia. Philly is 8-point favorites in this game. Does anyone want to elaborate on this one?
Philly.
I don't think there's much. This game is in Philly. It's not in Washington. Give me the Eagles.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on that one as well. This one, a little bit more interesting. The Bengals traveling to Tennessee down there in Nashville. The Bengals only 2-point favorites here against the Titans. How's everyone feeling about this game?
I'm a little nervous for Burrow. This game is not like Payton seeing the Rams. The Titans, they don't know what to do on offense. They're trying to feed Derrick Henry, and he's not doing much because they know they can't throw the ball, so just blow the box. But then thinking about Burrow and how he's trying to like not hurt himself and just do enough to get them to 2-2. But I think they have just enough to win this game. So give me the Bengals. I don't feel great about it, but yeah, give me the Bengals.
I'm going to take the Bengals as well, but I think this is going to be kind of one of those make or break moments for Burrow, right? I think he has to show up this game because there's been so much revolving around him within the first like three games, you know? So if he doesn't show up this game, it's going to be one of those questions on whether or not we should have sat him. Is he still hurt? Should he take time off? And again, I think Bengals without Burrow, no playoffs. Bengals with Burrow, playoffs. So I think it's one of those games where he needs to show up and he needs to put some points on the board. But yeah, I got Bengals winning this game over Tennessee.
So I think Mike Vrabel is like Bill Belichick Jr. by this point. Like, he always figures out like how to take away like your best weapon. So I don't think it's going to be a great Jamar Chase game this game, but I do think that Joe Mixon, I think Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, I think they're going to have some good games in this one. It's going to be a lot of checkdowns, a lot of runs in this game. It's not going to be a pretty game. I think it's going to be an ugly game. I'm probably going to say, I don't know, 25-21 by that point, but give me the Bengals in an ugly win over the Tennessee Titans.
It's definitely not going to be a pretty win.
No, it's going to be an ugly one. Moving on to something that might be a little bit more entertaining to watch. It's going to be the Raiders traveling to the Los Angeles, San Diego, Justin Herbert, maybe eventually the former Brandon Staley, Chargers.
Put that on a pennant.
Chargers 5.5-point favorites in this one. Who do you got?
I think the Chargers are going to take this. I think, again, last week there was a lot of penalties called against him that hurt him a little bit. I think Garoppolo is not quite there. He's not showing up. He's making some bad decisions.
Concussion protocol.
And I think Herbert is like on point with his passes. Like, he's a great pocket passer. He knows how to read a defense pretty well. So I think the Chargers are going to show up and win this game pretty easily.
I feel like this game is going to be close. I'm not sure if Garoppolo is going to play. I feel like he might actually be benched because of concussion protocol. Their backups might be a little more feisty also. O'Connell is a Derek Carr lookalike, so maybe they'll have something. But I feel like this game is going to be to the wire, tied, and someone's going to kick a field goal. And I feel like the Chargers will kick a field goal to win it by 3. So give me Chargers, but the Raiders cover.
All right, so I firmly believe that if Jimmy G plays this game, there's not even a question that the Chargers will cover 5.5. I think if Aiden O'Connell plays this game, I think that the Raiders have a very good chance at covering the 5.5. Either way, I think the Chargers win this game. I don't think it's going to be that close unless Aiden O'Connell plays, because once again, a backup comes in there, it's going to be a lot more difficult to just know what they're doing and stuff like that. But give me the Chargers to cover 5.5. Moving on to the next one, of course, we have the New England Ezekiel Elliott Patriots visiting back to his home turf with Dem Boys coming off the loss from the Free Dobby the Elf Cardinals. How do the Cowboys respond? Cowboys are 6.5-point favorites in this game. What are you guys thinking?
The Dallas defense is going to bounce back. I think it was a fluke last week. I think they're looking so good. Dallas offense is in question, but again, you compare Dallas offense against New England, I think they have it with that defense. I think 6.5 points is easy for Dallas to take over New England.
Yeah, the Cowboys are going to win this game pretty handily. I'm pretty sure they were really, really pissed last week. And this Patriots team, though they have a little bit of they really don't have much in terms of the offense. They got, Kendrick Bourne. They got Hunter Henry. They got Zeke. Zeke's homecoming game. This is in Dallas. I'll have more about what I feel about Zeke later in the hot takes. But the Cowboys have this game pretty easily. I don't see the Patriots being able to have enough anything to keep up.
So the Patriots, I'm kind of on the fence on this one. I think Cowboys are going to win this game, so I'll just say right now. I think the Patriots might cover 6.5. And I'm going to change my bet. I'm going to say the Patriots are going to cover 6.5. My problem with the Patriots right now is Mac Jones. Can you guess how many times Mac Jones has thrown the ball this season in 3 games?
Oh, he has a lot of attempts. Oh, it's like something obscene, like 120 attempts.
It's 125. Matt Jones is averaging 40 attempts a game right now.
He's throwing the ball a lot.
He's got 748 yards and 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but that's a lot of attempts, man. And if Bill Belichick knows how to do anything, he knows how to shut down your offense. His offense may not be great, but the Cowboys' offense doesn't look great either. I do believe that the Dallas defense will step back up in this game. I think it's going to be like a 17-6, 17-9, 17-10, 17-14.
That's about right. That's good. That's
so good. Give me one of those things where the Dallas Cowboys cover the spread on this one, and they end up still beating the New England Patriots. Then we have the free Josh Dobby the Elf Dimes going to San Francisco. It's a 14-point spread. What do you guys think?
That's huge. That's a huge spread.
That is a huge spread. 2 TDs. They're coming off a win against Dallas. You know they're going to show up. Will they win? No. They're not going to win. They're not going to win this game. But you're giving them 2 touchdowns? I'm going to take San Francisco to win this game. Arizona's going to cover.
See this as like a Niners up by 20 and then a backdoor cover to make it under 13. I see that happening. I'm going to really, really struggle to keep my interest in this game. But yeah, give me the Niners, but the Cardinals will probably, and I'm picking them to cover this 14-point spread.
So I'm going the opposite in this one. I'm going to say the Niners definitely going to win this game.
Arizona going to win?
Okay. All right. I'm not an idiot. Or maybe I am. We'll see.
Dobby Dimes.
However,
Dobby Dimes.
If this game, I think, was in Arizona, I think that the Cardinals might have a chance of covering that spread. But it's not. It's in San Francisco. I don't even know how many wins in a row San Francisco has at home right now. But they're also having no problem covering your spread at home either in the regular season. Give me the Niners in this one. Cardinals coming down off that high real quick.
Actually, I know when they lost at home last. It was against the Chiefs in McCaffrey's first game where he didn't have to didn't practice at all. So they didn't know what to do.
Stat boy.
Yeah.
There you go.
I didn't even have to look that up. Yeah.
That's why we pay him the 75 cents that all two of our listeners contribute in. Moving on to Sunday night. The Kansas City Chiefs travel to the 1-2 Zach Wilson-led New York Jets. The Chiefs are 9.5-point favorites. How do you guys feel about it?
Chiefs.
That's easy.
Chiefs.
Yeah, same thing.
It's just what the Jets are going to do.
I don't know where Taylor Swift's next concert is, but will she be there? That's a question for me.
Oh, will she be there? How many times will they show her on the screen?
She will not be there for this game, dollar bet.
You know what? I'll take that, though.
I'll take that, too.
All right. There we go. All right. I think he just won it. Next, moving on to Monday Night Football, the game you guys have been waiting for. this is an even matchup. The spread is even, 100% down the board. We have the Seattle Seahawks traveling to the New York Football Giants. New York gets to host two primetime games in a row in the same stadium. Hopefully, they can turn over the field fast enough for that one. Who do you got?
I'm going to touch on this game a little bit in a second, but I'm just going to say the Seahawks are going to win this game straight up.
Yeah, the Seahawks are going to win this. Danny Dimes, the original Dimes, is probably still not going to be enough, have anything to be able to beat the Seahawks. Seahawks are going to win this game.
Well, one question on this game is that the Seahawks have yet to play like a rushing quarterback. Danny Dimes has over 100 yards rushing on the year so far. He's got to make time for himself. If the offensive line can give him just a little bit of time, I think he can keep him in this game. However, the Seattle Seahawks will win this game, I think, full on. Right. Now!
Those were our picks. Now, what you've been waiting for.
We're coming to the hot takes of the week. This
hot
time,
takes.
You guys got to drop it all the way in. All the way straight down to the bottom of the bottle.
So today we have the... Mikey V's.
Please describe the hot takes of the week.
Garlic scorpion hot sauce. Had this at the Hot Sauce Festival, I think, a few months ago. These were one of the more stronger. It's probably not as strong as what you brought last week, but equally hot. And we shall make our hot takes. All right, I'm just going
to
break the seal. Ooh. Some ASMR.
Ooh.
Some garlic. Oh, there it goes. Yeah, I know this was like a little bit on the hot side.
That is tasty, though.
Woo! All right, Chris, hot takes of the week. Let's go.
Hot takes of the week. I have two for you. I'm going to start with Minnesota and Carolina. Bryce Young's coming back, so you got to be prepared for that. If it was Andy Dalton, I think we would be in this game. But considering the fact it's not Andy Dalton, I'm going to say Bryce Young's not going to have the offensive capabilities to make that happen. And considering the fact Sanders is not rushing the ball, worth the crap, that they're not splitting carry with Hubbard, it's not going to happen. My second one is Seattle and the Giants. Seattle and the Giants. It's going to come down to offense on this point. I think Seattle has a better offense to show up against the Giants. They definitely, defense, I think they're kind of matched. I think the rushing yards allowed for defense for Seattle is 79 yards. New England is 138 yards. So I think they're going to be able to stop Saquon and keep Danny Dimes in the pocket. So I think Seattle's defense is going to match up better, and their offense is going to take it to the house.
My hot takes, Patriots, Cowboys. Zeke will have a unassuming, very boring homecoming. He might even fumble the ball. This is not going to be a great game for him. I don't think he has anything to come back to. The other one, Raiders, Chargers. I feel like Jimmy G won't play this game, and Brian Hoyer and O'Connell, that other kid, will actually make this offense hum, and there'll be some controversy about who should be starting for the Raiders.
Talking's a little bit different when you're waiting the last one to go. A lot of saliva in the mouth by this point. The Jaguars are going to find their way across the pond by this point. Trust the new Jaguars offense. I think Zay Jones might be coming back this week. Travis Etienne, Tanks Bigby is going to be good. Trevor Lawrence is the way to go for it. Let's go for the Jaguars on the minus three by this point. I'm taking the Broncos all day against the Bears. If you have a running back in this game, be it Khalil Herbert, Rashawn Johnson, Javonte Williams, doesn't matter. If you have a running back in this game, I say start him. And for one more dip.
Dip.
I'm going with the third one.
Whew.
Colts Rams by this point. Take the Rams. Anthony Richardson, I don't know why that guy is like valued so high right now in fantasy football, but please take the Rams in this game. It's not even going to be that close. The Colts are going to try and battle what they can battle. The Rams offense has too much going on for them. Puka Nacua, if you picked him up a couple weeks ago, congratulations for you. Kyron Williams, if you waited on him last week, didn't have a great week, but this is going to be the week that he's going to go off.
I like it.
All right, and that's all we have for this week. Thank you for listening. Please like, subscribe, comment. iTunes, was that it?
Double Doinks and Sackles.
Teaching you how to football.
I think you taught me how to football.
I really hope so.
We'll see.
For this week's edition of Double Doinks and Sackles, my name is Travis.
I am Dobby Dimes, the stat boy.
And filling in for Fernando Jackson, I am Chris Walters.
Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy football this week. Enjoy Oktoberfest when I see you out there. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Bye.